Right, morning. Today, Daf is Daf Samech Zayin in Zvachim. Yesterday, Shabbos, we started the seventh parak of Zvachim. It's a tricky little parak. It's little. It's it will end before the week's over. Okay, but it's definitely a tricky little parak. The it's funny because it's really the entire parak talks about the oaf, the bird, and in the world of Karbanos, it's either a chatas or it's an ola. So you have two choices, and you think, okay, it's simple, it's easy. Where can we get confused? Where can we get lost? So okay, but nevertheless, so although the birds are not doesn't seem to be a complex set of laws, it sometimes could get complex. To the end of this morning, we're going to be quoting from the Mishnah in Kinnim. Kinnim is the one of the final Masechtas of Seder Kachim. I think it is the final Masechtas of Seder Kachim. And Kinnim is all about birds. And it's three little prakim of Kinnim, and probably, well, certainly the third parak, second and third parak, are one of the most difficult, or two of the most difficult prakim in all of Shas. I think we will have the pleasure in the Daf Yomi cycle to go through Kinnim, and so you'll see it yourself. In fact, you don't even have to wait that long, because today, at the end of today's Daf, we're going to quote Mishnayos from Kinnim. Okay, so so for whatever reasons, the trickier parts of the trickier parts of Kachim has to do with birds. All right. Let's set ourselves up for this morning. Chatas and Ola, we've said this before, but let's reacquaint ourselves again with the basics. A bird chatas is done on the lower portion of the Mizbeach as opposed to the animal chatas, which is done on the top part of the Mizbeach where you hit the horns of the Mizbeach. As it's done on the lower portion of the Mizbeach, the Kohen stands by the corner of the Mizbeach, southwest corner of the Mizbeach, inserts his thumb into the thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird and cuts only one pipe. Right? By the chatas, there's only a requirement to cut one pipe. Once you cut one pipe, that's it now. It's now officially been shechted as a chatas. And then there's the procedure of sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. Whereabouts on the Mizbeach, it has to be below the chutah sikra. Which corner the Torah doesn't specify doesn't really matter, but from a point of practice, it was done in the southwest. And then mitzui, and then squeezing the blood, the remaining part of the blood, onto the wall of the Mizbeach. That's the chatas of Olas Ha'of is done above the chutah sikra. Now by the Olas Ha'of, there's a mitzvah of being mavdil, right? Of actually taking your fingernail and pressing it inside and cutting both pipes, cutting both the trachea and the esophagus. There's this mitzvah of havdalah when it comes to the Olas Ha'of. Then afterwards, again, a sprinkle and a squeezing of the blood onto the Mizbeach. Okay, that's the basics between chatas and ola. What do we learn yesterday in the Mishnah? So, and not just in the Mishnah, but really the end of the sixth parak, is that there has to be a point of differentiation between the chatas and the ola. When you offer the chatas, when you offer the ola, so that's it. There are only two birds to offer. So it has to be chatas to the exclusion of ola, and ola to the exclusion of chatas, both in kavana and in action, right? When you actually do the procedure of the chatas or the procedure of the oaf, it must be procedurally done as either a chatas or as an ola, but you can't confuse them. If you treat the chatas like an ola, right? If you treat the chatas like an ola or vice versa, in procedure, so we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, it's possible it's not going to be any good, right? That's what we discussed yesterday in the Mishnah. Okay. Fine. Let's do the following this morning. Let's just review the Mishnah. We did the first piece of Gemara yesterday, and then we're going to go to the second piece of Gemara. So turn back to Samech Vav and Aleph, and let's quickly review the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chatzas of Shasa Lamata, Kemase Chatzas Hashem Chatzas Kshera. So if I do a Chatzas of which Shasa Lamata, I sprinkle the blood below the Chutah Sikra. Kemase Chatzas, I do it procedurally like a Chatzas, which presumably means that I only cut one pipe, and then l'shem chatas, and my kavan is l'shem chatas, so kshera. So that's good. It's not just good, by the way, it's perfect. Right, it's perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Then, kemase chatas, l'shem ola, kemase ola. If I do it, kemase chatas, procedurally like a chatas, l'shem ola, l'shem ola, but my kavan is for an ola, so that's no good. Right, Right? The Masa Ola L'Shem HaChatas, or procedurally like an Ola, which means that I split both pipes, I cut both pipes, L'Shem Chatas. K'Masa Ola L'Shem Ola, or procedurally like an Ola, Kavana like an Ola, Psul, in all those cases is Pasul. Okay? Good. Now, Asa Lamala K'Masa Kulan Psula. If I do it Lamala, right above the chutah sikra, so that's possible. That's absolutely no good. You cannot go above the chutah sikra with your chatas off. Now the Mishnah turns to the next scenario, which is basically everything we just said, but now we're going to go to an ola. We'll start with a bird, which is an ola sof. So first, the Mishnah tells us what you should be doing. Ola sof shasol amala kemasa ola shem ola kshera. So the Mishnah says that if I do it procedurally like an ola, and kavana like an ola, so that's good. Again, more than good, it's perfect. Kemasa ola l'shem chatas. What if I change kavana? So if I change kavana, so like we learned in day one of the Masechta, changing kavana of an ola, so ksherah mavash lo atala ba'alaha. So it's good, but the owner doesn't get credit. Kemasa chatas l'shem ola. What if I change procedure? So I do a kemasa chatas, or kemasa chatas l'shem chatas, or I change both procedure and kavana psula. In all those cases, it's going to be pasul. Asalamat kemasa kulam psulam. And then, of course, if I sprinkle in the wrong place in the mizbeach, meaning not upper portion but lower portion, that's going to be pasul as well. Period. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very clear. You can't change on the chatas. You can't change procedure. If you do, it's pasul. On chatas ha'of, you can't change kavana. If you do, it's going to be pasul. On the flip, on the ola, you can't change procedure. It's going to be pasul. If you change kavana, so it'll work, but it just won't work for the owner won't get credit for it. We started the Gemara yesterday. We're not going to go over the first part of the Gemara, but let's start ola sa'of. We are on Samech Vavam and Beis, and we're starting about 10 lines down at the two dots. Ola sa'of tishanu b'mai. Now, again, the question is, when the Mishnah talks about changing procedure, what procedure are you going to change? Now, there are only two parts to the bird, the offering of the bird. Number one, it shouldn't really be that complicated. But as you'll see, it's going to get a little complex. There's only two parts to the bird. There's the Malika part, and then there's the sprinkling part. So, the Gemara wants to now know, Dishani B'mai. So, in the Mishnah, we're talking about procedural change. Well, what procedural change are we talking about? Elim Dishani B'Malika. Oh, maybe it's procedural change of the Malika. Okay, right? Well, in other words, we're talking about the Ola Sa'of, where what you should have done is gone in and separated and severed both pipes, and instead of severing both pipes, you only severed one of the two pipes. So, Midiktani Sefer Kulani Metamim Beveisa B'liyam Walam Behem. So, okay, but then we go to the next Mishnah, which we're about to start in just a couple of minutes, and the next Mishnah discusses V'chulan, in all these cases, Ein Metamim Beveisa B'liyam. Right, it doesn't give off tumah, which we'll discuss in just a moment. And there's a din of me'ila. So name of the local Rabbi Yoshua. So then that would mean now that our Mishnah doesn't follow the position of Rabbi Yoshua. Now we have not been introduced yet to Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, we're going to get a lengthy introduction as we go into the next Mishnah, and we're going to understand the position of Rabbi Yoshua. But right now, without a lengthy introduction. Short introduction. Deikar Rav Yoshua Hamar Ein Mo'alin. We know Rav Yoshua says that there is no din of Me'ila. So you want to tell me now that the shinui of our Mishnah on Samach Vav is where the change of procedure was in Malika. But then the Gemara points out, then that means that by definition, our Mishnah over here is not going like Rav Yoshua. Because Rav Yoshua is of the opinion that there is no din of that there is a din of Me'ila. Meanwhile, the next Mishnah, that there is no din of Me'ila, and the next Mishnah says there is a din of Me'ila. Okay, which again, in of itself, is not the end of the world. Meaning to tell me that our Mishnah over here is not going like Rav Yeshua. Okay, so it's not going like Rav Yeshua.
Why would there be Me'ila?
Well, again, I'll get into it in much more detail in just a moment. But right now, I'm just dealing with the structure of the Gemara, and you know. How do you understand our Mishnah? The Me'ila aspect, right, is coming up. We'll spend a lot of time on it. So again, so Eimah El Bemitzvah Eimah Seifa Olas Ovshas Olamata, I'm sorry. The Iker of Yeshua Hamar in Ma'alan Ve'ala B'mitzui. Oh, okay, fine. So the Gemara says change of procedure. So let's go to the other aspect of the birds, which is okay. So the change wasn't in Malika. The change was in Mitzui, in the blood procedure. Now for an Ola, we know you have to apply the blood, sprinkle the blood, and you have to do Mitzui, right? Ola Mitzui is an absolute requirement. So maybe it's Chata. So in other words, then maybe he skipped the Mitzui, which by an Ola you have to do. So the Gemara says, Eima Seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, so the change in procedure was in Mitzui. So then, let's go to the next Mishnah. Eima Seifa, Ola Sof, Shal Salamata, Kamasa, Chatos, Hashem, Chatos, Rav Elazar, Mar Ma'alam, Bav, Rav Yishua, Mar Eim, Ma'alam, Bav. Now when it says Seifa, it means Mishnah coming up, which we haven't seen yet, but doesn't matter. In other words, again, I'm just dealing with the structural aspect of the Gemara. I'll explain everything much better later on. Which is now, you have two parts to the first Mishnah, on Samech Vav Amud Aleph, and you have the Mishnah coming up. And the Mishnah coming up, the Mishnah is talking about a procedural change. Now, b'mai, ilema b'mitzvah ayim adam Rav Yeshua d'shanim b'melika b'mitzvah ma'amar. Look, Rav Yeshua, which we haven't seen yet, but we know Rav Yeshua is talking about procedural change in terms of Malika, not in terms of Mitzui. The Ela b'Malika, Reisha v'Seifa b'Malika mitziyasa b'Mitzui. So that's very strange now. So now, follow the Mishnah. On Samach Vav Amud Aleph, we're talking about procedural change. We're saying the first part of the Mishnah is talking about procedural change of Malika. The second part of the Mishnah, we've established, is talking about procedural change in Mitzui. The third part, which is the Mishnah coming up, which we haven't seen yet, is going back to procedural change of Malika, meaning it's just uncomfortable that when the Mishnah is giving us quote-unquote procedural change, we're talking about different procedural changes. And the Gemara acknowledges, and the Gemara says, okay, in Reisha v'Seifa b'Malika u'Mitziyasa b'Mitzui. You're right, it's a little bit awkward. It's not a consistent flow, but nevertheless, as you read through the Mishnayos and you learn your Mishnayos, the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah of the Perek, is going procedural change of Malika, procedural change of Mitzui, and then the Mishnah on Samach Vav Amud Beis, which we haven't even seen yet, that's talking about procedural change of Malika. Okay, Gemara says fine. It's not the best. It's not the most comfortable way to end it, but that's what we're doing. Okay, we're going in that. We're gonna have to understand the Mishnah in that direction. All right. Fine. Let's start the new Mishnah. V'kulan. So, in our first Mishnah, we talked about procedural change of a bird. Okay, so let's quickly review. Ola sa'of. Where I'm supposed to take my thumb and go through both pipes. And the Mishnah says, if I only go through one pipe, it's no good as pasul. Okay, which means that I got to take the bird and throw it out. Kohen is not allowed to eat it. Cannot be consumed as a chatas ha'of. You throw it out. Well, let's go the other direction. The Mishnah says that I have a chatas, and I went through both pipes. Also no good. I made a procedural change. I didn't differentiate between chatas versus ola. And again, it's pasul and I got to throw it out. Okay, v'chulan in every one of the cases of the first Mishnah, ein mitamim beveis habliya. Okay, so the Mishnah says over here it's not going to give off tumas beis habliya. Okay, remember,
what is the requirement?
Remember tumas beis habliya. When it comes to birds, right? Okay, when it comes to animals, let's start off with the more general. When it comes to animals, an animal that was not shechted properly, that did not receive a proper shechita, so the animal gives off tumas nevela. Somebody comes over, and the animal is a source of tumah. The carcass of an animal is a source of tumah. Somebody comes over and either touches or carries the carcass of the animal, magu masa, so he's going to contract tumah. Right? That person who touches it now is a rishon l'tumah. Okay, that's in general by nevelas behema. Nevelas of, Torah has a chiddush. Okay, sounds strange. But that's what a chiddush means. It means it sounds a little bit strange. And the chiddush of the Torah is that when it comes to the carcass of a bird, meaning a bird that did not receive a proper shechita, so I'm going to become tamei, not by touching it, not by carrying it, but by eating it. Now you'll say to me, you're not allowed to eat it. It didn't receive a proper shechita. I will acknowledge you are correct. And then I will go on to say that the way you become tamei is by eating a kezias of the bird of nevelas of tahor. Okay, gzeiras akasav. That's the way the Torah operates. Kosher bird. This tumah is only coming off of a kosher bird. Kosher bird that did not receive a proper shechita. Nevelas of tahor.
That's not actually moron.
It means the species. No, the species of bird is kosher. But it itself, the bird itself didn't receive a proper shechita, so therefore it's a nevela. Nevela just simply means that it didn't receive a proper shechita. Nevela could be referring to kosher animals. In fact, nevela is referring to kosher animals.
If it's not a kosher bird, there's no...
Then there's no nevela, then there's no tumah. Tumah only comes off of nevelas of tahor. So, number one says the Mishnah, ein metamen beveis abli, it doesn't give off tumah. Oh, okay, good. Now, stop, pause, and think about it for a moment. Makes perfect sense, right? Meaning, Malika is essentially your shechita substitute. Right. So, if Malika was done correctly, done properly, that means that the bird is edible. That it's not nevela. So, it doesn't give off tumah. So, if the Malika was not done properly... Oh, okay, fine. No, now you... Right now, hopefully, you get to see the chiddush in the Mishnah. So, you could have argued, well, the Malika wasn't done properly. Meaning, I did a procedural change. It was supposed to be a chatas, and I shechted it like an ola. It was supposed to be an ola, and I shechted it like a chatas. I cut one pipe instead of two pipes. I cut two pipes instead of one pipe. You could have argued and said, it's puzzle, I have to throw it out.
It's the milk.
It's still milk. Good, that's the punchline. But let's just set ourselves up for the punchline. Right? I have to throw it out. It's possible. It's not a good carbon. So you could have argued it's a nevela. You could have argued it's a nevela. The Mishnah is teaching us it's not a nevela. Meaning when all is said and done, it did receive its proper quote-unquote shechita.
Which is only one siman.
Which is only one siman. Meaning for a bird, you only have to cut one siman. That's it. And you did it. Granted, in the world of kachim, right, it's not good. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. By an ola, I was supposed to cut both. By a chatas, I'm only supposed to cut one. So procedurally, I went off course. In the world of kachim, it's not going to be a good karbon. Fine. But when all said and done, the malika is still a malika. So the first part of the Mishnah is kulan ein matamim beveis abliya. Doesn't give off tumah.
No, a bird that has malika can only be eaten by a kohen. Right?
And only a chatas bird.
Okay.
An ola bird can't even be. But the first point of the Mishnah is shechita, no tumas nevela. Okay. Second part of the Mishnah, v'chulei mitamei beis abliya u'mo'alin bahem. Okay? And on top of that, there is me'ila. There's a din of me'ila. Now, okay. I've said this before, but let's make sure that we're clear. Me'ila in general. We know, keep going back to it, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to the topic of Me'ila. Me'ila is misappropriating. I take something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and I make use of it for myself. Right? If these keys belong to the Beis HaMikdash and I make use of the keys, so I'm mol behektish. And the consequence of being mol behektish means, number one, whatever benefit I get, I have to make full restitution. Number two, I have to add a 25% surcharge. And number three, as a karban. Asha Me'ila. I have to bring a karban. Okay? Those are the three things that result in me misappropriating from the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. When it comes to karban, there also is going to be a din Me'ila. But, by a karban, there is only a din of Me'ila of the parts of the karban that are La Hashem. Towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The parts of the karban that I get to eat, or that the Kohen gets to eat, there's no din of Me'ila by those parts. Okay, fine. Okay, just make sure everyone understands. By karban, so, right, it's, you could think to yourself, oh, it's a karban, it's cool, Allah Hashem. No, when it comes to a karban, only the parts that go onto the Mizbeach, only those parts are subject to Me'ila. So by an ola, it means the entire karban. By a chatas, it means only the pieces of the chatas that go up onto the mizbeach. Here we're in the world of birds. Right? Remember, we made this point already before. By birds, it's all or nothing. Okay. So, mo'alin bahen. So in all these cases now, there's going to be a din of me'ila. Even by the chatas. Why? Because the chatas didn't turn into something that the Kohanim were allowed to eat. Because they were procedurally altered. because the Kohen who did it didn't do it procedurally corrected, it doesn't turn into a chatas which is consumable by Kohanim, so therefore there's going to be a din of me'ila by these birds.
But because of that, it's not for Hashem that they're getting me'ila from. Even though they did it properly, he himself is not allowed to eat, but it wasn't something that's designated for Hashem.
Right.
So what would they be me'ila?
Because the birds were designated. Once the birds receive their designation, now they are Kachi Hashem. They're subject to Mi'ila once they were designated as Karbanos. The only thing that gets it out of Mi'ila is the Kohen's ability to eat it, but because not done correctly, Kohen didn't get to eat it. Okay. Now, the rest of today's daf is all now in this next line of Mishnah. Chutz. Mechatas o sha'asa lamata kemase chatas Hashem chatas. Chutz mechatas o sha'asa lamata kemase chatas Hashem chatas. Okay, I'm sorry. Not yet. I spoke one line too soon. Except for the chatas of which was done below, like a chatas l'shem chatas,
which is
a chatas.
That's good.
Correct. Fine. You want to argue that the Mishnah is not providing a tremendous chiddush over here? Fine. Okay. But fine. Now, from this point forward, now I could say this. Okay. I'm sorry. I spoke one line too early. From this point forward, now the rest of today's daf. Okay, is all based on this next line of Mishnah. Okay, let's go. We have an Ola Sof. So the case is really simple. We're dealing with a bird which is designated as an Ola Sof. Okay, and it was done Lamata. It was done below the Chuta Sikra. Strike one. Kemase Chatas. And procedurally it was done like a Chatas, which presumably means that only one pipe was cut, not two pipes. Strike two. L'shem chatas. And the kavana of the Kohen who was doing is l'shem chatas. So that's strike three. Okay, now even for those of you who don't understand my obscure baseball references, which I understand, but you know three strikes or you're out. Right? That much you know. Right? So here you had an Ola Sa'of, which was done below the Chuta Sikra. That's not where the blood belongs. Okay, by a chatas. I'm sorry. Let's start again. It's an ola sa'of.
Right.
Okay, it's an ola bird. Oh. Number one, it was done below the chuta sikra, so you know that's not where it belongs. Procedurally, it was treated like a chatas. Well, you shouldn't have done that. In other words, it's procedurally, it's an ola. And finally, your kavana was chatas. So it's three strikes.
Mm.
Okay. Now.
No part of yourself as ola.
Nothing about it was treated like an Ola, aside from the fact that when originally designated, so the Kohen said, or whoever designated it said, it's an Ola. And then from that point forward, everything about it was treated like a Chatas. Now you'll say at this point in time, knowing the first mission of the Perek, you'll say, of course it's no good. What's even the discussion? In the first Mishnah in the Perek, we talked about having just a procedural change.
Only one of them
changing, and the Mishnah says, well, that's no good. Okay. So here, we're going to have a tremendous chiddush of Rav Yehoshua. Amar Rav Yehoshua, Rav Yehoshua Omer, Ein Mo'alin Ba. So Rav Yehoshua says there's no din me'ila. Rav Elazar Amar Mo'alin Ba. Rav Yehoshua Amar Ein Mo'alin Ba. Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't read it correctly. Rabbi Elazar says there is a din of Me'ila. Rabbi Yehoshua says there is no din of Me'ila. Okay, think about it for a moment. Who makes the most sense? Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yehoshua?
Rabbi Eliezer
makes the most sense.
Because it's an Ola. It's designated as an Ola.
He designated as an Ola. You messed it up. Right?
It was supposed to be burned completely.
You were supposed to cut both pipes. You were supposed to send the blood above the Chuta Sikra. You sent this below the Chuta Sikra. You were supposed to be thinking about Ola. You were thinking about Chatas. You did everything about it wrong.
Maybe it's still an Ola.
Okay, Michael, that's the best suggestion of the day. That is where we're going to go in this whole discussion. Okay, good. Wait, fine. So fine. But before the Chiddush, just again, let's all think this through. Of the two, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Elazar makes the most sense. Sure. I don't mean to impose my will on everyone here in this room. But Rebbe Lazar makes them host.
You could argue that an Ola by definition always is going to have Me'ila by it, right?
An Ola is going to have Me'ila.
No matter what happens to it.
Right.
That just should be, because it's
fine.
It was
so,
never intended to be used
right.
in any way.
Good, so that's Rebbe Lazar making sense. That's Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar is saying, you set it aside as an Ola. Ola is Kachay Hashem. It was supposed to go up onto the Mizbeach. So you messed it up, but fine, you messed it up. But it's an Ola. It is an Ola. It continues to be an Ola. It's an Ola that happens not to be able to go onto the Mizbeach because the Kohen did a lot of things wrong, but when all said and done, nothing took it away from its status of Ola. Rabbi Yoshua coming forward, Rabbi Yoshua saying, you know what, there's no din of Me'ila. What does that mean, there's no din of Me'ila?
Because he passes the designation.
Good, he passes the designation.
Once you passel that, there's no
Me'ila. No. Once you passel, you can't put it on the Mizbeach. But it's still, who took away the Ola status from it? It may, think this through. It may not be able, you may not be able to put it on the Mizbeach now, because he messed it up. But who took away the Ola designation? Meaning, who took away the Kedusha of it? It's still Kadosh.
Can Me'ila be done...
The intent over here is almost inconsequential in this discussion. Meaning in this discussion over here, we're just having a result-based discussion. Rabbi Eliezer says there's still a din of Me'ila. Why? Because you designate it as an Ola, it's an Ola. All procedure, all the mistakes were made. Every mistake in the book. 3 out of 3. Right? But still, Rabbi Eliezer says, look, it was designated as an Ola, continues to be an Ola. And even though it's disqualified, but there's still a din of Me'ila. You're misappropriating from something designated to be brought as an Ola. Period. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer makes the most sense, and Rabbi Yoshua says there's no din of Me'ila. As if to say, this is what Michael suggested, as if to say that what happened over here, the Ola changed into a Chatas. Now, you have to think to yourself, come on. One carbon doesn't turn into another carbon. That never happens. So we'll be learning today on Daf Samach Zayin of Masechta Zvachim. It almost never happens. Okay?
That's why they mentioned it in the procedure like a
Chatas. It almost never happens. Right. Okay? Right. Well, we'll be learning today. It's a tremendous Chiddush of Rabbi Yoshua. It's really the point of the day. Is that what we have over here is one scenario, and there's no precedent, and I cannot think of another place where you can have one carbon turn into another carbon.
But didn't in the very first mission of the Masechta,
yeah,
didn't we say that you could downgrade a korban to like a lowercase, and it was
no. The closest thing we have to this is a carbon Pesach turning into a shlomim. That's the closest thing that I can think of, but that's not even a good example because a Pesach is a shlamin.
No.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, how could we be the designation? You're saying, we can be designation.
Okay. Now, the tricky part about today's daf is like this, okay? What's going to happen now is that Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lazar are going to have a major debate about this particular case. Okay? And from here until the rest of the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua are going to go at it. There's dialogue in the Mishnah, which we don't always have. It's exciting when we have dialogue in the Mishnah. We get to see actual give and take between the Tanaim. There's going to be dialogue in the Mishnah. The best part about it, from here until the rest of the Mishnah, is that they don't really discuss the key issue. Meaning, we in this room right now just discuss the key issue. The key issue is that Rabbi Yeshua believes that if I have an Ola, where I sprinkle the blood below the Chuta Sikra, and I have in mind a carbon Chatas, and I cut in one pipe, not both pipes, so basically I've treated like a Chatas, it turns into a Chatas. That's a major Chiddush. You would hope to see Rabbi Yoshua at one point in time during the Mishnah articulate that. And he doesn't. From here until the rest of the Mishnah, he does not articulate it. The arguments that they have will be Kavachomer arguments, the classic types of arguments that you would expect the Tanaim to have. But really, the truth of the matter is that not in the Mishnah do you find Rabbi Yoshua really saying what he really thinks. How do I know what he really thinks? Because the Gemara is going to tell us. Right? Amoraim will tell us that what Rabbi Yoshua really holds is that the Ola turns into the Chatas. Okay, so when we see the Gemara, I'll show you. The Gemara will say a point black and white. But it's interesting, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are going to be sparring with one another, duking it out. But really, the central point and the huge chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua will not be articulated in the Mishnah. It's in of itself, it's so interesting that Rabbi Yehoshua just doesn't simply say it. Maybe it's too big a chiddush. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer, you know, almost will like, you know, it defies everything Rabbi Yehoshua. I don't know. It's hard to understand why Rabbi Yehoshua doesn't just simply say, this is why I believe there's no longer a din of me'ila, because the ola turns into a chatas. Right. But I don't know if I don't know if I spell this out. Let me make sure I do. Now, the reason why there's no longer any me'ila is because once the ola turns into a chatas, once the bird now becomes edible by the kohanim, there's no longer a din of me'ila by karbanos that are now consumable by humans. Right? That's, again, that's a basic premise. We started off the morning this way, that way. Just making sure everyone's clear. I just want to make sure I articulate.
There's no tumah.
Not tumah, mi'ila. There's no mi'ila because once a carbon is now consumable by the kohanim, the din of mi'ila goes away. Fine.
Is Rabbi Yehoshua accepted or not?
Wait. too early.
Because if it's accepted, you can apply it to every other thing.
No.
You can apply it to any other carbon.
No. This is a chiddush centralized only to the point of this case and only this case. It cannot be expanded to other cases. So later this morning, I'll make a suggestion in terms of why not, and it won't be me; it'll be Tosfos. Meaning, this idea of Rabbi Yehoshua is mind blowing. We don't find this anywhere. It is unprecedented that a carbon can turn into another, and here it can. So again, later this morning, I'll try to we'll go over maybe possible svaras in terms of why Rabbi Yehoshua says it.
Can we say in this case to in other words, the end of what happened?
Similar to what you're saying, Tosfos is going to say something similar to that.
How can a coin? I mean, you take something that is and change the whole thing. It's like stealing. Like, you know, I give him something and he does something else. It's not his to do it.
Right.
You know, if it was his,
right.
I could understand maybe
right.
if somebody else
right.
designated.
So it's a tremendous chiddush. It is a tremendous chiddush.
The kohanim are not going to be able to eat it. No one was using it this, right? It's not.
It's not
to that extent.
No, it is.
I don't.
Can eat it.
No. The question is a good question. I'm not gonna. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And what makes my job more difficult is that Rabbi Yehoshua doesn't articulate. Meaning he doesn't even say what I just said. What I just told you that the ola turns into a. He doesn't even say that. So I don't know to what degree it turns into a chatas. No, because he's right. Rabbi Tirsch was right. The Mishnah is only talking about this whole discussion in the context of Me'ila.
Right.
So
I'm saying Kabbalah for whom? Would it be for whom?
It's,
nobody does it. Nobody gave it as
right. What you have, right. Another.
They can't eat it because it's not Me'ila anymore.
You're saying they can eat it. I understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just simply saying that I don't know enough to know. I'm not going to give an answer because it sounds fair to say, but think about how strange it is. It was an ola. It was supposed to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. So now we're reassigning it. Okay, we don't have it. Again, it's just such a chiddush. Let's go. We have a daf to do. It's the hour's late and good. You got the. I mean, in other words, I'll tell you the truth. Really, from this point forward, that's the punchline. I gave it away. But I did it so that we wouldn't get lost now in all these arguments in the Mishnah and the Gemara, and really we're focused. We understand what's going on right now. Rabbi Yehoshua is telling us that the ola turns into a chatas, but okay, let's go through the Gemara inside. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Here we go, back and forth. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Uma im chatas shemo alam balishma. So look, when it comes to the chatas. She'ein mo'alam ba l'shma. If chata's done correctly, there's no me'ila. K'sheshina shma mo'alam ba. And meanwhile, if I make a procedural change in it, or not even a procedural change, k'sheshina shma, when I make a kodesh change in it, so, shinui kodesh by chata's. So now there's a din of me'ila. Because I didn't make it permissible for the kohanim to eat. So ola. So, and if that's true by chata's, ola sh'mo'alam ba l'shma. So by Ola, where it starts with Me'ila, right? It starts from a position of Me'ila. So if I make a change in it, a shinui in it, so you don't think there's going to be a din of Me'ila? So Rabbi Eliezer bases his argument now on what is the classic Kal v'chomer. So Amalei Rabbi Yehoshua lo. So Rabbi Yeshua's response to Rabbi Eliezer is no. What are you talking about? Chatas to Ola, you're changing it to something where there is Me'ila. But Tomer ba'ola sheshina shma l'shem chatas, but ola to chatas shekein shina shma l'davashen bo me'ila. But chatas doesn't have me'ila aspect to it. Chatas, if done correctly, is eaten by the Kohanim, leaves the world of me'ila. So how can you make your kal v'chomer from ola to chatas when meanwhile ola's where me'ila's, you know, a concept. Chatas is where me'ila's not a concept. So your kal v'chomer is fundamentally flawed. Amar lo, Samach Zayim Amar Aleph. Continuing, this is now again Rebbe Lazar and Rabbi Yehoshua back and forth about whether or not there's Me'ila. Okay, Amar lo Rebbe Lazar v'harei kachi kasha sheshachtem b'dar v'shachtem l'shem kachim kalim yochichu. Rebbe Lazar says, look, I have kachi kachim. Shecht in the south. You know you're not allowed to shecht in the south. You know that kachi kachim have to be shecht in the north side of the mizbeach. We've established that many times. V'shachtam v'shem kachim kalim, and I shecht it with intent of kachim kalim. Yochicha shekein shinat shmam l'dav v'shein ba me'ila. Look, in kachi kachim kalim, there's no me'ila by kachim kalim, generally, right? O mo'alim bahen. And meanwhile, there's going to be a din of me'ila. Afatal titma ala ola afapisha shina shmala davashain ba me'ila. So now we're going ola to chatas. Your point was chatas does no me'ila. Good. Kachi kachim to kachim kalim. I go from something where there is me'ila to something where there isn't me'ila. And yet there's going to be me'ila. So over here, same thing. I'm going from ola to chatas, something where there is me'ila to something where there isn't me'ila. Same thing. So shain ba me'ila shim aluba. Amal Rabbi Yehoshua. So Rabbi Yehoshua says back to Rabbi Eliezer, lo. Again, no. Your argument is fundamentally flawed. Im amart bekachi kachin sheshachtem adam v'shachtem l'shem kachim kalim shekein shina shmam l'dav v'shiyesh bo iser v'heter. No. Because by shlamim, what was your model case? Where it was kachi kachim where I shecht in the south and I had a mind for kachim kalim. Even by shlamim, there are still parts of the carbon that are subject to me'ila. Which parts? The parts that go up onto the mizbeach. The Imurim. Imurim of Kachim Kalim are still subject to Me'ila. So, you want to give me that case, but even in that case, the Shlamim still has parts of it which is subject to Me'ila. Tomer ba'ola sheshina shmala davashekulo heter. But here, I'm going from Ola to Chatas. Chatas, none of it is subject to Me'ila. Zero of it is subject to Me'ila. Tanya, we're going to keep going. What's happening now, we're going for transitioning from the Mishnah to the Gemara, but it's not really a transition, because the Gemara immediately quotes a Braisa, and this Braisa really is just a continuation, more debate between Rav Yehoshua and Rav Elazar. And I'm going to reiterate, what's so fascinating is that Rav Yehoshua doesn't say it. He's not saying it. Meaning, what is the reason why it's no longer subject to Me'ila when I have an Ola, and I start treating it like a Chatas, in every aspect of it. Tanya, I'm a lo Rav Elazar lo Rav Yehoshua. So here Rav Elazar says to Rav Yehoshua in the Braisa, Asham Sheshacht B'Tzafon L'Shem Shlamim Yochiach. Let's say I take a carbon Asham, I shecht in the north and I have a Shlamim in mind. Sheshina Shmo Mo'alim Bo. So what I do? I did a Shinui, I did a change, because I had in mind Shlamim, not Asham. And meanwhile, there's a din of Me'ila. V'afatal titma alal shafapi sheshina shma shiyam aluba. So here in your case, in our case, where I have an ola and I change it into a chatas, it still continues to have a din of Me'ila. Amalo Rav Yehoshua lo, im amarta ba'asham, shim shina et shma lo shina et mekomo. Tomer ba'ola sheshina shma v'shina et mekomo. So Rabbi Eliezer starts to give away, Rabbi Yehoshua starts to give away his hand a little bit. In this game of poker, right, which is probably a terrible analogy, but in this game of poker that's being played between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, now finally Rabbi Yehoshua is starting to show his cards. Right? Over here, what's going on? You were Shina, it's Shema V'Shina and Mekoma. You changed its name, meaning instead of calling an Ola, Kohen called it a Chatas, and he changed location. Instead of going above the Chatas Sirka, he goes below the Chatas Sirka. I'm a low Rabbi Lazar. Asham sheshachta bedarm l'shem shlamin yochiach. Okay, so how about this? I take an asham, which is a kachi kachim, supposed to be shecht in the north, I shecht in the south, Shashina Shma Bishina Makama Mualan Bo. Afata Titma Alha Ola. Shafa Pishashina Shma Bishina Makama Mualan Bo. So now I got you, because now I'm taking an asham, I'm changing designation, and I'm changing location. And yet there's a din of Me'ila by the Karban Asham. You agree with me on that? Now Rav Yeshua nods his head and he says, yes, I do, but not here in the case of bird. Amalo Rav Yeshua, lo imamarta, ba'asham sheshina ot shmo v'shina ot mekamo, v'lo shina et ma'asav. Yeah, but you know what you didn't do? You didn't make a procedural change. Here, by bird, you did all three. Three strikes. Tomra ba'ola sheshina ot shmo v'ma'asav v'shina ot mekamo. Okay, now, period, that's the end of the Braisa. Amar Rava. So Rava says, V'nei malei asham sheshachtu b'dam l'shem shlamim b'shinu e'balim sheshina eshma b'shinu makarno v'shinu ed ma'asav. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer come back at Rabbi Yoshua? Right? And now, give the example in asham where I changed all three things. Location, intent, and procedure. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer come back at Rabbi Yoshua? Midalo kamar lei hachi shma mina nachis Rabbi Eliezer letame de Rabbi Yoshua. Finally, the light bulb went off in Rabbi Eliezer's head, where now Rabbi Eliezer says to himself, I get it. I understand what Rabbi Yoshua is doing over here. The amar of Adar ba'ava omer haya Rabbi Yoshua ola sa'ov sha'asa lamata kemase chatas l'shem chatas. That's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yeshua is finally, right? He's been saying this all the time. He just hasn't said it yet. And now Rabbi Eliezer stops arguing because it clicked. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Rabbi Yeshua. You did it in the lower part of the Mizbeach. You procedurally did it like a chatas. You only cut one pipe. And your intent was a chatas. Oh, you think it changes to a chatas. Now, does Rabbi Eliezer finally capitulate to Rabbi Yeshua? I don't know, and probably not. But he understands there's no point in arguing with Rabbi Yeshua anymore, because now he understands what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. So,
it doesn't explain why.
Therefore,
animals,
you cannot
do that
with animals.
No. This is
they were going back and forth.
Right. Correct. Right. Correct.
He's saying if you had a power in case,
correct.
Play,
correct.
Then,
correct.
So sounds like Rabbi Yeshua would say that it would be
right, but it doesn't. In other words, this is right. This won't work anywhere else. Now, there's why, right?
So he's comparing those two. It seems that
agreeing
to the rules of the game here were birds are the same as animals.
They're not.
It's not different than animals.
Right.
Construct a case. Birds.
Right. So, right. So, because Rabbi Eliezer was thinking to himself as he was arguing with Rabbi Yeshua, look at all these cases of animals, and you know you agree with me in all these cases of animals, and Rabbi Yeshua says, of course I do, right? Of course I do, but birds are different. Now, what I'm going to suggest, and again, it's not me, it's Tosfos. Why do birds different? Meaning, how do you process this information that I could take a bird which was designated as an ola, and because I treat it in three aspects like a chatos, it becomes a chatos? What an unbelievable chiddush! So Tosos over here says,
but the main thing has to do with the melika. That's the linchpin. If the melika wasn't
but
done
if
correctly,
it was just,
the other things don't done that. It has
if
to
it was just melika by itself, you have to do all three.
No, I understand
you're
that.
Good.
But the thing
okay.
is that when he cuts one pipe right there and then, he has shown that he's changing the course here. The other two steps, you could argue that it's not really.
They're necessary. Those other two are necessary. Wait just one second. Tosos chatos of shas alamala. Right, the second last tosos on the page. This concept that we're going to turn something into something else, this is only a kinim concept. Kinim is our term that we use for birds. Okay, kinim actually the word means itself just means nest. Okay, that's the term we use for birds. The amrin an ena kinim misparshos ella oblekichas balim obesias kohen hilkach tehani nami hachi shetimashech. Tosa says like this. Okay, this is the basic rule. When we learn together Masechta Kinim, which will be actually later today, and we'll learn the whole Masechta together at the end of Seder Kachim. So we're going to learn like this. Birds are interesting. A woman just gave birth. She has to bring a pair of birds to the base of Mikdash. One bird is an Ola and one bird is a Chatas. You know, she doesn't have to specify which bird is which. Meaning, she'll go to the base of Mikdash, she'll bring a pair of birds, and she'll say, look, here are my birds. Okay? And she gives it to the Kohen. And she tells the Kohen, you know what? You decide. Okay. And the Kohen, later on, holding consecrated birds in his hands, can then later assign and say, this one will be the Chatas and this one will be the Ola. Okay. So in the world of birds, we have this idea, this concept, where birds can be Kadosh, but yet unassigned. So it's not, it doesn't fill in the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua is still...
These were the signs.
Right. Right. Rabbi Yehoshua is one leap beyond that. But at least you have the groundwork in the world of birds to suggest, look, I can even designate after it was consecrated. So Rabbi Yehoshua is still a step beyond that. But you don't have that by animals. You can't go over to an animal and say, you're an animal, you're going to be a carbon. And later we'll figure out which carbon you are. That doesn't work by animals. By animals, from the get-go, you have to say, you're a shlamim, you're an ola, you're a chatas, only if you're, right? And by the way, let me just point out the other major chiddush, which people here kind of alluded to earlier, but just gonna put it in and concretize it. What we have over here now is a chatas that's not providing a kapar for anything. Right? It's really, aside from the fact that you're taking an ola and you're turning into a chatas, what you're also doing is you have a uncoverable, that was a terrible word.
What?
Right? I was trying to say it. You have a chatas that does not have a kapar for any particular sin. You can't do that. Meaning, you can't go over to an animal and say, look, I didn't do anything wrong, which in of itself is impossible. but you know what? I would love to bring a carbon chatas to the base of Mikdash, right? I feel like it's my day. You can't do that. A carbon chatas needs a sin in order to be brought. And here, what's happening now is you're taking an ola, you're transforming into a chatas, all because the Kohen was, you know, erroneous in what he thought it was.
To go and sin afterwards, and I can't do that. No.
Right. It's
no?
That's further, just further articulating what the chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua is. Aside from changing something from an ola to a chatas, you're also now introducing into the world the chatas doesn't have a sin for it.
And then
I go back to Rabbi Joshua's question, which is really such a good question. Meaning, the Kohanim are going to eat it. The Torah says when the Kohanim eat the chatas, you know what happens? That by part of the kapara process is the Kohen eating the carbon chatas. Here you have a chatas that's not really for a sin. So Kohanim are eating a chatas even though it's not providing a kapara for anything? Okay, good. So, hopefully further understanding the Chiddush.
But Bond is means that he cannot, if I can do change something, it's not his.
Right,
his.
Right.
I say it's an order, I'm giving it to you an order.
Right, right.
You do whatever you want with it.
Right.
I can do that.
So good. So, your question is good. At least with Tosfos, you have the concept.
Yeah. No,
of,
I understand that.
Right.
Before, but once it's designated, I don't understand. I can do something
right.
To do it.
Right, okay.
Rabbi Shulman, yeah. I mean, we
do have a chatas at Tzibor. You're right about that. But here, okay, let's just do a little bit more for today. We'll finish off the page and at least the somewhat short amudim coming up in the Masechta. So I'm okay. But let's just finish off the page. So v'tehavi olas ta'of, sorry, kevan de shemalik basim necha, nimshech z'nasiz chatas ta'of. Ihachi, the Gemara continues, chatas ta'of, nami sha'asa lamala, kemasa ola mechi malik ba simen echa, timashach v'tehavi olas ta'of. So according to you, Rav Yehoshua, once you're now in this world of ability to change. So go and eat, go in both directions.
Right.
Turn a chatas into an ola. Come on, go crazy. So hachanami, right? So vechitem a hachanami, and maybe yeah. Rabbi Yoshua was good with that. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Benak, Kachi Rapsal Shal Mishnah. So, but when you go back to the Mishnah and you reread the Mishnah that started this whole discussion, the Mishnah was very specific about the case it gave. The Mishnah was talking about an ola sa'of, where? Below the chutas sikra, procedurally like the chatas, intentionally like the chatas, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't give the flip case. So my lav kachi apsav esu lo. So the Gemara assumes, look, the Mishnah is deliberate in its presentation of which case it gives us. The Gemara says, lo kach apsav shokula Mishnah. Not necessarily. Meaning, maybe all Rav Yochanan was saying is, this is the Mishnah. Meaning, remember, one of the things they had to do as a Moraim is just simply check off, right? Is that Mishnah correct? Gersa-wise, is that Mishnah correct? And maybe Rav Yochanan was just simply saying, yeah, the Mishnah is correct. But not to make the point that it's this case and not the other case. Rav Ashi Amar, Bishlama Olas Of Shasalamat Kemase Chatos Shashem Chatos Kemen Da'achshar B'Simen Echad V'ha'achshar B'Shnei Simanim. Rav Ashi basically makes Ben's point that Ben made a couple of minutes ago, which I ignored him because, you know, I got to go on, but Ben was absolutely correct. And that is, Rav Ashi says, I can change from an ola to a chatas. I can't change from a chatas to an ola. Because an ola requires two simanim. A chatas only requires one siman. When I go in and the Kohen checks it below the chutas sikra with intent of a chatas, and once he hits that first pipe,
that's it.
It's a chatas. What am I going to do now? When it's a chatas, I'm going to reverse order. I'm going to go from a chatas to an ola. Once I hit that first pipe, it's a chatas. And now I'm going to go hit the second pipe. Oh, now it's too late. Once I hit the first pipe, it's a chatas. Look, you cut one pipe, if sala. Good, you passed it. Meaning, it was a chatas, you chatas it. So now that you've shechted it, you've malikat it like a chatas, what are you going to do now? Now you're going to try to change it into an ola? You can't do that. Period. Okay, good. You can't. So you can't, it's just a logistic issue. Because you can't go in the other direction because chatas only requires you to cut one pipe. You cut one pipe, that's it. You malikat it as a chatas. You can't go further than that. Good. All right. Mishnah. Machlokes Chidin Rav Elazar and Rav Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua discussed the case where I have an olas off. I shechted below the chutas sikra. And I have a kavan of a chatas. So Rabbi Yoshua says, that's it. No more me'ila. Why not? So now we know. Now we could say it. There's no longer any me'ila because it turned into a chatas. It turns into a chatas. This is unprecedented. We don't have this anywhere else in the world of kachim. And good. And it's just a tremendous chiddush. And
accepted or not?
Yeah. Yes. It's going to be accepted. Okay. Tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll do Mishnayos and Kinim together. Okay. I look forward to a great day tomorrow.
Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, put him down.
Same.